Welcome back to the Monday Morning Mix on Radio Islam International, and time now for the basic fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayat. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
I hope you are doing well this morning, inshallah, Mufti Sahab.
Allah be praised and all praise belongs to Him. Yes, alhamdulillah, Mawlana. Alhamdulillah.
You know, Mufti Sahab, I've got this habit from madrasa. When the ustad is speaking, I write in the Urdu language. So even if the ustad is speaking in English, I write in the Urdu language. So last week we were discussing tragic incidents. So I've written here, agar kisi hadse ki wajah se bachcha fort ho jaye, to walidain pe kya hota hai? So,
MashaAllah, Maulana, this is very interesting, MashaAllah, practice of yours. Of writing and then writing in Urdu, that is like a simultaneous translation you're doing. It takes a lot of good skills to do that, mashallah.
I suppose it's 7 years that you spent, and mashallah, and even more concise than that is the Arabic. But anyways, Mufti Sahab, last week, alhamdulillah, we spoke about those incidents where a child loses his or her life and what happens to the parents. Are they responsible? We also spoke towards the end of the program with regards to the dressing of our children, and we spoke about the fact that clothing has a very profound impact on the psychology of the child. Also, we spoke about clowns also last week. That's where we left off, Mufti Sahab.
Yes, I think we spoke about how the children behave like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, or Jesus. Donald Trump, I'm sorry, because it's the way you make them... The kind of clothing they wear has an impact on their behavior.
Mm.
And so I think we've completed that discussion. What we do find, a question arises sometimes where a father will say, look, I want my children to be dressed properly, but it is the mother, because she has the ultimate, so to say, as far as what she's going to put on for the children, and she most of the time buys the clothing, and she chooses to buy that type of clothing which the father doesn't approve of, and she puts that type of clothing on which the father is not happy with. So will he be regarded sinful in this instance? So this is a type of question that does come up from time to time. Also, we hear this question being posed. So as far as that is concerned, the father has some degree of responsibility. He should at least explain clearly what is right, what is wrong. He should make his, likes and dislikes as far as this clearly known. And he should express his dissatisfaction when it is not done correctly. You cannot just be silent and remain, nonchalant as far as this thing is concerned. He has to express himself and he has to make his view known. We don't say that now it must lead to, a kind of a huge fallout between the parents that they actually, it could actually result in something drastic like Allah forbid breakup of the marriage or something like that. But at the same time, he should at least make it known that this is not right, and he should express his dissatisfaction so that the mother of the children will realize that this is not, I cannot just continue in this manner. The father is not going to approve of it. So that is as far as that part is concerned. Then I think we need to speak a little bit about, toys, Maulana.
Gee.
And the toys of children, because this has become a very big game as far as the issue of the toys are concerned. It's become a very big industry. Your mind boggles today with the variety of toys that are available and games that are available. And now in there are certain that will be permissible, certain that will not be permissible. And it's important for parents to know the guidelines of the deen as far as which of those toys they should purchase for their children and which they should not purchase. There is such a bewildering assortment of toys that are available in this day and age, and the different types of games that are available in this day and age, and it's just growing by the day, if you want to say it, you know. The variety is just growing bigger and bigger. It's unlike, I don't know if I could say about your age, Maulana, but my age, our age, when we were children, the maximum amount of things that were available, maybe a dozen so things that were available at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times, children played with a little bat or a ball.
A wooden top, yeah.
A top or a yo-yo. In fact, strangely enough, last week, my grandchildren were at home, and I think this was the first time they actually saw a yo-yo.
Ajib.
They didn't even know what a yo-yo is. So I had to explain to them what is a yo-yo. I had to play with them, show them how the yo-yo, how you play with the yo-yo. And they were quite fascinated. These are things, I mean, you know, in this day and age, the children haven't even heard of these things. So those were things that were very popular at that time. The simple things that children played with. So there was no question of, you know, allowed or not allowed. Of course, there were some board games that time, like Ludo and Snake and Ladders and so on. And it was played with a dice.
Mm.
And then the question comes about that, you know, it is sort of, is this allowed or not? But then these were just the very simple things that were there at that time. Maybe you had Monopoly, where you pretended to be a millionaire, or there was another game that was called Billionaire. And then there were things like Scrabble, which was an educational game. But that was, of course, when children grew a little bigger. Maybe some of those games still exist. I believe now there's electronic versions available of all those games as apps now on your tablets.
Mm.
So in any case, what we say is that, first of all, it's very important to
Nowadays, Muftisab, you play online with other people across the globe.
Yes, absolutely, Maulana. It's absolutely mind-boggling. You know, my grandson was here yesterday, and he says holidays, he wants to go where there is a Wi-Fi connection. Then he doesn't mind going to any place where... But if there's no Wi-Fi connection, he's not going.
Ajib.
Now, this is how the children have become today. That, you know, the holidays too must be, you know, where it suits their... you know, plans, and something that that must be of interest to them, right? We had no choice in these matters. If you say you must go here, you go here. You go there, you go there. You had no say in the matter at all. But these days of the children, they were a different outlook in life, and they got too many options in front of them.
Mm.
So, like you say now, if you got Wi-Fi and you got a tablet, you can go online, you can download as many games as you want, you can play as many games as you want online, you can play with people around the world. It's really scary also at one time, Maulana. But coming back to this discussion about what would be allowed and what would not be allowed, first of all, these any animate objects, you know, those must be avoided altogether. Like, for example, even now, they do have dolls and things like that. So if it is an animate object, then it's not allowed. So one has to be careful not to purchase such items for the children. You have other versions available. And I still recall when my children were small, we found these dolls that were like faceless. It doesn't have any kind of facial feature, and it is shaped like a little, you know, how a doll is shaped. but no face, no facial features at all. And, you know, some of them even came with a little button that you pressed, and if you pressed that button, then it made like a laughing sound, and another button you pressed, and it made like a crying sound, and so on. So, if it is like that, then that is the lu'bah that we find mentioned in the hadith regarding Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, that when she was small, she had a lu'bah. It was a little rag doll, we could say, that had no animate features in it. So, per se, toys are in fact allowed. There's no prohibition at all, but it must comply with these requirements. Then another aspect that has to be considered is the musical aspect, that, you know, the, whatever toys there are or whatever games there are should not be accompanied by music, because that is where those seeds are planted, and then children get used to it and the detestation of it goes out of their hearts. So that is another factor that must be considered. If it comes with that, then you must be able to mute that sound or put the volume off completely. Right. Maybe they will say that now they're not enjoying it, but no, if the idea is whatever enjoyment there has to be must be within the limits of the Sharia. So these are one or two important considerations, and of course it must not have any kind of satanic or evil connotations attached to it. You know, I'm seeing some of the things here that look very frightening. I don't know if you've seen this, these minions.
Gee, you get a two-eyed one, then you get
the
a
one-eyed, Maulana.
Gee.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like as if there's a promotion of a one-eyed devil, and that's like a kind of a subtle reference to the Dajjal. Now, maybe somebody might say we're looking too deep into it, but there is a subtle element involved in trying to introduce people towards these concepts. So I would say you rather be on the safe side and not introduce the children to such type of things, where there is some kind of, you know, a minion is basically somebody who is like a mindless person. It was like a robot who's been controlled by some kind of a master. So, you know, those type of games that have got some deep subliminal messages hidden in it, or toys of that nature, those are the type of toys that we have to be very careful about, and we should avoid introducing our children to such type of things. I don't want to sound alarmist, and I'm not saying that now we must try and look for a conspiracy in everything, because if that is the case, you will find a conspiracy everywhere. But at the same time, one must also not be totally blind and oblivious to these dangers that are to be found. Because these things do subtly affect the personality of children. And there is many alternatives available, purely good alternatives, which do not involve any of these things. So rather stick with that, which is, you know, which promotes good values, and it does not, you know, promote any kind of possible evil, you know, connotations. Then I think that is something that also has to be considered.
Interesting indeed. And what about, Mufti Saab, some games, you know, where it involves killing and shooting and fighting and swearing and all that?
Yes, Maulana. You see, these are those other things that come up. I'm very glad you brought this up. Yes, there are those games that entail a lot of violence and, you know, killing, shooting, and vulgar language and so on. Those are things, of course, that we should also completely, totally, you know, prohibit the children from playing such type of games, because, again, these are all subliminal messages that have been conveyed to their what we could call their psyche and, you know, to the subconscious mind. And eventually they grow up with these tendencies. Obviously, when somebody is exposed to this all the time, you become desensitized. And then for these children to become gangsters later in life and to murder and kill and so on, it is nothing, because they've been so exposed to it and so used to it in their games that they consider it almost to be like a game. Like, you know, today they talk of these drone operators, Maulana.
Gee.
The drone operators are people who actually sit at very far away, remotely in some other country of the world, and they press buttons, and the drone is totally remote control, and they direct the, that drone towards living people, where it's obviously in the form of a weapon, like a missile, and they cause that drone to detonate on whole families, on wedding parties, and so on. And innocent people have been killed. Thousands of innocent people have been killed like this by drone operators. And the drone operator is totally heartless, is totally oblivious of what he's doing. It, for him, it may be like that very same game he was playing as a child, of, you know, killing enemies by firing missiles at them and taking his drone and, you know, directing it towards them. And the fact is that in reality on the ground it has caused so much of loss of life and so much of suffering and misery. But the drone operator is totally, he's almost like a minion himself. He doesn't realize what he's doing. And he doesn't realize what loss of life he has caused and suffering he has brought to the people. For him, it was just like another game that he played online, and he goes home and he carries on his life as absolutely normal. But if he had to be put into a wet spot where that drone landed and he sees all that blood and body parts and organs all scattered all over and the people crying and, you know, the misery that he has inflicted upon them, that would be a different picture. So this is why I think it was good you bring up this part about you know, the violence, the killing and so on. Those are things also that, you know, we should totally, you know, not allow the children to get involved in those things, because obviously this is going to affect their personalities, and then that they could turn on their own families someday.
Yes.
So, yes, those are also, and this, you know, this violent tendencies will arise in them. So those type of games also are completely out. So now it goes to show how knowledgeable the parent has to be in this day and age.
Indeed.
When selecting toys.
Mm.
And when allowing children. It's, you know, today selecting toys is one thing, but what about, you know, the exposure they have online and the type of games that there are, and, you know, for them to what to download and what not to download. And the children are so sharp. They're behind their parents' backs, they're going to download all those games, and they will be playing it, and the parents wouldn't even know how much you're going to police your children in terms of, but you've got to have your finger on the pulse, and you have to actually be aware of what they are viewing. So I think that was also a very important aspect to take into consideration.
There's also a lot of reviews out there when you're buying a game, and being a parent, I can relate to this. So you get online views of people and feedback of what they thought about the game. So it's interesting to read up on that, or on what other parents feel also. So it's a good direction for you to go towards when you are buying a game. And there are also other alternatives of this sub, like memory games, hidden objects.
Definitely, Maulana. Absolutely. I think we should look for all those good educational games, which is now referred to as edutainment.
Hmm.
you know, where it is entertainment with an element of education. So it's referred to as edutainment. Those type of games are things to be promoted very much, because it helps a child with intellectual stimulation, and it, you know, develops the mental skills and capacity of the children, like you say, memory games, you know, even logic games that test your logical skills, games that help to increase your vocabulary, word games and things like that, even your what we would say, your skills of your reflexes, where your reflexes become very fast and sharp. So those type of games, those would be in order, because they serve a useful purpose.
Gee.
In fact, I think it might be a good exercise if somebody does a kind of a service to the Muslim community, that we get people to sort of compile a list of games that are beneficial and useful, and that do not comprise any kind of the prohibited elements, and to make that available information, so that at least parents who don't have the time and the luxury to do all that homework, they have some resource they can fall back on, Maulana.
Indeed, very good.
Who you think would be the most suitable to undertake such an exercise?
We have Al Ihsan Relief, Al Ihsan Boys, Al Ihsan Girls. Ab ek baki reh gaya Al Ihsan Kids.
Al Ihsan Kids and Al Ihsan Games.
Khair,
let's see, inshallah. I hope, inshallah, this message has gone out to the honorable listeners of Radio Islam International. And we hope, inshallah, that some people will take up this challenge, and it could go up onto some kind of a website of some sort, and people can then view, you know, those that don't have the time, they can actually just see a quick list of what would be suitable material. You know, maybe it can be categorized according to ages, because it has to be also age appropriate, and then that way at least we know that there's something out there that that is safe and useful and beneficial and not harmful and detrimental.
Indeed. Jazakallah khairan for your time, much appreciated, and we hope to speak to you again next week Monday.
Inshallah ta'ala, Maulana.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.